Dueling Dialogues is brought to you by our affiliates at IX Web Hosting. Click the banner on therightleftchronicles.com to get up to 40% off your first year of the best hosting on the planet. Today's episode of Dueling Dialogue is brought to you by Saucy Eva. GMA's marinade is coming soon to a plate near you to gourmetize your meats and proteins. Coming to you from that once-forgotten artery that pulses through the center of the continental United States and into the heart of the Ozarks, Grace Matthews. Looking in from the northern border, our Canadian friend, along with his countrymen feeling the effects of U.S. political issues, Connor Murphy.
Welcome to Dueling Dialogues, episode 74. I'm Connor Murphy, here with Grace Matthews in the Springfield studio. Hi, Grace. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Connor. How are you?
Well, it's all about you. You were the sick one this week.
I know. I got that stupid flu. Yeah. Let me tell you, it's horrible.
It is.
It's horrible. It's depressing. It's hard to get over. And here's the really bad thing about it. You think you have kicked it and you feel better, and it will come back and haunt you again.
Yeah, exactly. Just when you get confident enough to say, hey, I'm getting better, and boom, it nails you back. Yeah, had that over the holidays. So, not fun. My heart's with you.
It is not fun, but let me tell you, nothing is worse than the tragedy that has hit the United States this week.
Yes, horrible.
Parkland, Florida. A gunman opened fire on a middle school / high school, killing 17 and injuring 12, five of which were very serious. I am happy to report that only one is still in serious condition in ICU. Nevertheless, it has been a horrible, eye-opening week.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
So many things went wrong here. This kid was 19 years old. He had been suspended from school sometime last school year. I mean, I've heard several different stories. Nevertheless, he was sent to a special school. Apparently that didn't work out. His adopted mother died in November. What is most important is the systematic failure of the FBI. The FBI was warned about this kid back in October from someone online that noticed that he had made a comment on YouTube saying, I'm going to be a school shooter. Now, on that was his, you know how Google owns YouTube?
Yeah.
His Google Plus handle was at the bottom of that, where he made that statement.
Right. You can't comment on YouTube without being signed in.
Exactly. Okay? This, I'm calling him a good Samaritan, happens to be a bail bondsman, turned it in to the FBI. Okay? The FBI first reported this week that they couldn't figure out who he was. Have they ever heard of an IEP address? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I tell you what, if I do something ugly or we mention Bill Clinton's name, they can sure as hell censor us.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get this kid.
Yeah.
Now, he also spelled his name Nicholas Cruz very specifically. Nicholas was N-I-K-O-L-A-U-S. That's not a very normal spelling for Nicholas. So that starts narrowing it down if you don't know about IEP addresses, which really scares me because, you know, if the FBI wasn't so set on impeaching or overthrowing the Trump administration, they might have had time to save the lives of these kids.
Right.
And the reason I'm so mad is they came out a few hours ago that not only did they have that, not only did the school already have him banned from campus using a backpack. I mean, if they tell you you can't come to school with a backpack, then you probably shouldn't be there at all. And the authorities should probably be alerted.
Yeah, I'd say.
Nevertheless, on January 5th, a relative called in, told the FBI where he had weapons, the fact that he had made threats to kill, to be a school shooter, and that he had mental health issues. All they need is weapons and threats to pick him up, and they can keep him for a very long time. That brings us up to date. The governor of Florida, Rick Scott, has asked for Christopher Wray's to step down as FBI director.
Hell
in
yeah.
Situation.
Well, we've known for a while the FBI needs a total overhaul.
Well, and you know how I feel about my guns. And like a lot of our viewers do. I like my guns. I want to keep them. There are a lot of guns in this country. Nevertheless, in the wake of situations like this, people tend to want to hand over a lot of their liberties. Our young people are the first. And I say that with all due respect, because I believe when I was young, I wanted to hand over my gun too. I didn't want one. I remember crying, "Dad, I don't want my gun." So I do have a lot of respect for it, and I think that it's important. But we have with us today Ian, who's a college student.
Hi, Ian. Who
wants to be a teacher.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, this is definitely more in your ball court for sure. If you're thinking of going into education. We haven't been in school for a long time.
Absolutely. And Ian, several months ago, before this conglomeration of school shootings, I don't believe he was so much on board with gun control.
Yeah, you know,
we've had 18 so far this year.
Yeah.
School shootings. And he has changed his viewpoint. So I'm going to let him kind of introduce what's on his mind.
You know, I was always for our right to have guns, but, you know, as, you know, I looked into it, saw the amount of school shootings we had, saw, you know, how many guns we have as a country, it's just, it honestly blew my mind. I did not know that, you know, almost everyone, like, not everyone, but a large majority of the U.S. population owns guns. They have guns.
There are more guns than people in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd never thought about that. And so, you know, I go on that, I'm looking at that, I'm looking, you know, how many school shootings do other countries have? You know, not much. And, you know, I went from that to eventually I was like, you know, I'm in school and, you know, based on just, you know, regular statistics, you know, most of my classroom probably has guns at home. You know, what if one of them that I don't know much about decides, hey, I'm going to walk into this class and shoot it up?
It is a worry. It's a big worry. And in the United States, we are how far into 2018? There has been 18 school shootings. Of course, not all of them, thank goodness, has been as bad as Parkland. But 18, and we are 6 weeks into the new year.
I know. That's almost like one every 2.5 days or something.
Exactly. And, wow. And when they're not that bad, forgive me for saying that, we tend to overlook them. They have become so much a part of our life since Columbine.
Well, thinking this over, Ian, does it make you feel like you should maybe have a weapon with you in school?
Not really, no. Actually, quite the other way. Actually, I feel like, you know, we should have more regulations against anybody having a weapon in school.
But are you aware of the fact that on these gun-free zones tends to be the place where the gunmen's hit?
Well, it's true.
I mean, they use that to their advantage.
But that's, you know, the route of putting guns in the hands of more people on, you know, the campus, you know, or on just anywhere in the gun-free zones. That's not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is making sure that the guns don't make it to the campus. They don't get there, ever.
Well, how do you do that?
You know,
I mean, because you're not going to pick up more than 300 million guns in the United States because people are going to turn them over. I mean, do you know what you'd do if you start knocking at the doors and start trying to pick up people's guns? I think that you would basically have a civil war.
Oh,
in the United States.
Definitely.
We love our guns.
I agree to that, but I mean, why would you have a gun if you don't intend to use it? You know, it comes down to that factor that, you know, we have the guns.
Well, but self-defense.
We're ready to use it. But if the guns weren't there, we wouldn't need them to use them.
How can we make sure that they don't make it on campus? What could we have done? Now, let me give you just a brief little rundown. This kid was living with some friends of the family since his mother died. He was living in a trailer park about 30 minutes away from the high school where he had gone to school when he lived with his family prior to his mother's death. He took an Uber car. He had a backpack and a soft saddle bag or gym bag, soft-sided, and that's where he had the guns and the ammunition. So he took an Uber car to the campus, got out. He had smoke bombs. Did he actually throw the smoke bombs? Misbelieve he did, and he threw a fire alarm. That was in order to get the students to come out of the classrooms.
Now, my question is that, you know,
so that he could maximize the damage.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much, but when you entered that school, was it ever shown how, like, what you have to go through to get into the school?
Like, there's so many buildings and so many doors that I think it's very easy. I mean, they did have armed guards, but they have so many buildings. They had 4,000 students. They had a middle school and a high school, but plus,
there's no,
you know,
perimeter, so to speak.
Well, yeah,
of.
And it's not like, you know, even where we live, it's so warm down there that they go from building to building.
Yeah, it's multiple locations, multiple
right.
perimeters that would have to be set up in order to stop something like that.
Exactly. So he did his shooting. The shooting lasted less than 3 minutes. He was on campus less than 6 minutes. He then removes his shirt, I guess drops his weapons, and runs out with a group of students running from him. Okay? But he uses that as a disguise. Runs to a Walmart. Inside the Walmart was a Subway. You know, the sandwich place.
Yeah.
He gets a soda. And then goes just a little ways away to a McDonald's and sets down. Not long after did the cops arrest him there. Now, that's kind of how the timeline went. This was very quickly. But, like Ian said, he was able to walk into campus. You know, my guess is we need to build that wall and we need to build it around our schools. There is no way he should have been able to walk in.
I thought schools in the U.S. had security guards, armed security guards, or police.
Yeah. Actually, not as many as you think.
Yeah, it really depends on where you're at. Like, for example, when I was in high school, you know, they didn't even enact this till my final year. But when you went into the building, you had to walk through, like, the front door. Then you had to walk into, the main administration office. And then you could walk into the actual school. But prior to my last year at high school, you could really just walk straight in.
Like, absolutely.
No one would stop you. And, you know, we had maybe one school police officer, like, on campus at any given time.
Well, and sometimes they might be out driving around trying to find some kid cotton glass.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't necessarily
at their post.
Yeah, it wasn't guaranteed that they were going to be there. So, and it was only one person. So.
Well, and you know, it's really ridiculous when you think about it, because when we go into the Social Security office here, you have to go through a metal detector. And they have, I believe, about 3 security officers when you go into the courthouse. Even when you go over to JUCO, you've got to go through security before you ever enter the proper part of the building. Why can't we do the same for our kids? And at the same time, I do believe there should be some teachers that
are trained.
Are trained and caring.
And armed. Absolutely.
And armed. Absolutely. Yeah.
I have a little better idea. How about we take some of these veterans that can't hold down a job once they get back from Iraq and the Middle East. Why don't we hire those veterans
to protect our kids? Absolutely.
They've just been fighting for your country.
Exactly.
They're going to fight for your kids.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very loyal people.
There's so many levels to this. We go to the top level, gun control for the masses. We know that's not going to work.
It's not going to work in the U.S.
Maybe you're going to outlaw the AR-15 rifle because it seems to be taking the hits all the time, you know, and being used quite often, frankly. So maybe they're going to target that. Maybe that's a good idea, but you're never going to stop guns from being out there in the public. And a lot of people think, oh, Canada is not guns. People don't have guns. Some of that is true, but we almost have as much guns as you guys have per capita.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a gun-loving country, too. And we have some pretty strict laws.
Yeah, because you guys do a lot of hunting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why
don't you have school shootings then?
It happens that we get phone calls, things like that. I think there was a couple shutdowns in schools here this year because of threats phoned in or a possible bomb or possible shooter or whatever. They just lock down the schools. And they don't just lock down one school. They lock them all down.
All down, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, like, you know, the lack of the actual shootings there is because, you know, you react faster and you react more harshly to threats?
I don't think that's the case at all.
Or have you just gotten lucky so far?
We've had shootings at schools.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
we haven't heard about it here.
Universities or colleges, you know, in the past. But as far as like middle school, stuff like that, yeah, it doesn't happen here. But they get locked down. I mean, my granddaughter was locked down a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So they're very proactive. If there's any kind of threat, they pull the alarm.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, in this case, it sounded like the FBI, you know, multiple people were ringing the bell. Hey, you know, look at this guy. He's going to go freaking nuts and kill people. And they just did nothing.
I mean, there was no student, there was no member of the faculty. In fact, the police that didn't know before the guy's name was released, basically who the hell had done it. I mean, that's how obvious this kid was.
Yeah.
He had
issues.
How did they
find him sitting in a restaurant? They already knew who he was.
You're exactly right. I mean, there were so many calls. It's just mind-boggling that they dropped the ball this bad.
Well, you know, one thing that I think of too is, you know, last semester, you know, my high school had a threat against it saying somebody apparently sent some message out saying that they were going to come and shoot up the school. Well, you know, the school did nothing. You know, they had a cut.
They didn't go on lockdown?
No, they didn't go on lockdown. I think they might have had one or two more guards present, like one school police. But actually, you know, a lot of the students, they didn't show up because they had already heard about it and they didn't want to show up. So it wasn't the school
that did anything.
It was
an advance warning.
Yeah, it was the students and the parents who decided they weren't going to send their kid
to
school on
the
day that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the school.
It's just not worth the chance.
Wow.
You know, and the school should have done something.
Something. What is that something, though? That's the big question. You know, what is the something?
Exactly. And these 17 that were killed yesterday, you know, they don't get a second chance.
No. Innocent.
You know, one of the kids' father said, "For my daughter, go out there and do something great. Breathe for her." Now imagine.
Wow.
He can never see her again.
Yeah.
He won't dance at her wedding.
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, how many shootings do you say we've had this year?
18.
18.
According to ABC.
Yeah, like I'm not discounting this. This was a horrible tragedy. But why is it that just now we're getting on the ball and doing something? Like, this has been going on for years.
Because we had to have the body count high enough. And you're right, that's wrong. It shouldn't be on the basis of a body count.
Like, for example, in the UK in 1996, they had, I believe it's 1996, they had a school shooting immediately, almost immediately afterwards, that year, I believe, they had, you know, laws on the record to deal with that sort of event. Like, why, you know, we really haven't done much. Like,
no, but I will say that President Trump said to his staff today, submit any ideas you have to me. I don't care how stupid you think they are. Submit them because we have to do something.
Yeah. You know, it's I look forward to see what's going to be done. But, you know, we need to act quickly. We've spent too much time waiting to do something.
So I have a question for you, Ian. You graduate, let's say you graduate university with honors, like you're going to do, right? Right?
Yeah, correct.
And you get a job, but a part of that job, teaching in that school, requires you to go through training and to be armed to defend your students. What do you do?
I mean, if they require me, you know, that's, I mean, I'm going to do it because it's for my job and, you know, how else am I going to do it? But, you know, really, you know, I'm on the stance like, you know, I just wish we didn't have to have guns. Like, why, you know, unless you intend to use it, you know, why should you have it? You know, yeah. Like there's got to be another
wish, though. That's not reality.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be another way. You know, there's plenty of countries that you know, make it without having to have their teachers armed.
Absolutely.
What do they do? What do they do?
You know, they make their location secure.
Okay.
You know, gated schools, uniforms, IDs, you know, even in some countries in the U.S., you know, you got searches, but I mean, that's not widely done enough, you know, metal detectors, whatnot, you know, just to make sure, you know, all their kids are safe.
So what?
And they've been doing this for a long time, I guess.
You would take the training to keep your job, but you wouldn't agree with the training. And yeah, having to carry.
I feel like, yeah, you know, I feel we should up security, but I don't feel like as a teacher,
you're the
I
one,
should require,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Because, you know, as a teacher, you know, I I'd love to defend my students, but, you know, I'm not necessarily signing up to throw my life away when, you know, somebody with a gun who shouldn't have it is, you know.
An AR-15 and you're standing there with a little pea shooter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point. That's definitely a good point.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't actually see any real, it's cut and dried. There's a solution right here. All we have to do is this.
Yeah, it's not. There's not one solution.
Yeah, it's rough. You either got to, you know, take the guns away, put the gun, which, you know, isn't going to work. You know, people aren't going to give up their guns. You put the guns in more hands of people, which could either result in more violence or deter the shootings. Or, you know, you make schools more secure with gates, walls.
I think we have to make our schools more secure.
I still
think
like
our children are worth
idea.
It.
I like my
veteran. Oh, I love the veteran. I think that's part of it. But I also think you check everybody that goes into that school before they walk in the entrance. You put up a little hut, you know? At the university, they had, like, little security huts.
Right.
Back when I was in school, and in fact, if you had a night class, you called the security hut, and they would walk you, you know, and that was a precaution for rape for
right.
women, you know? And the huts were, you know, periodically all over campus. They weren't necessarily used to screen people before they went in the building, but they were warm bodies. Many of them were armed back then. I don't know what it's like now, but I do believe you've got to check everybody before they go in.
You know, just as an observation from my time, you know, my school right now. Yeah, I've seen maybe two guards, and I'm in my second semester there, and I've seen maybe two guards, and yeah, their presence just, it's not that strong. And
are
you
they undercover some?
They could be. You know, that's the point. I don't think so though. You know, and especially at my school, you know, you could just walk in, like no one's gonna stop you. You know, we all wear regular clothes. None of us have really any sort of identification. And, you know, anybody could be there. Anybody. Yeah. For any reason.
That's not safe.
You know, anybody can go to our library, you know. They won't even be questioned. They can sit and, you know, read our books. And you know, if you just think about that.
There's a Starbucks there in the entrance.
Yeah. You know, you could go do anything at my school. You can't go into a classroom that people will be like, what are you doing here? You don't belong in this class.
Yeah.
But outside of that.
Well, by that time, it's way too late. But don't even get to the classroom.
Yeah, nobody's going to question you until you get to a classroom that you're not supposed to be in.
Yeah, and that's a long ways off. They can do a hell of a lot of shooting.
Yeah.
Well, one thing other countries don't have that you guys have is, and that's the NRA. Is that the problem?
I don't know. I'm an NRA member. I love the NRA. And after the Las Vegas shooting, you know, the NRA was all for Congress passing a law to get rid of bump stocks. And guess what? Congress hasn't done it. And the NRA definitely said, get rid of them. They will turn a semi-automatic weapon into an automatic.
Yes.
So does Congress really want to act, even the Dems, who hate guns?
And is that because of political contributions from the NRA?
Well, that supposedly the left, the Democrats, do not get them. And Nancy Pelosi said she would like something passed more than she would like to win the election. Jeez, that makes me want to pass something.
I mean, you know, you want to hear something really crazy, though. Like, you know, I'm not for really, you know, taking everyone's guns away, but I'm for, you know, screening the people who have guns more.
Well, people with serious mental health problems.
Train them. But the fact is, you know, let's say, you know, this isn't true, but you know, if I had mental health problems, like let's say, you know, I had severe anxiety, depression, you know, something really bad. And for some reason, you know, I felt like I really wanted to just go in and get back at the school, you know, for example. And so I decided I'm going to walk down to the local gun store and buy a gun. Well, bear in mind, I've never been checked by a psychiatrist, bear in mind, you know, all those things. And they run me through a background check. I pass.
Exactly.
Here's your gun.
Yeah.
Go shoot up that school, you know.
Yeah, but I also think you have to define what would be a serious illness. For example, I wouldn't think that anxiety would be enough. I wouldn't keep somebody I wouldn't keep somebody that was diagnosed from panic disorder. I wouldn't keep them from having a gun.
But
all of us have a different threshold.
Yeah, but
now, a sociopathic behavior like this kid had where he killed animals and basically exhibited no ability to have empathy, of course I would keep him. Someone with schizophrenia, even though they don't tend to be violent.
But, you know, let's say a very small percentage of, like, you know, mental health disorders are ever even tried and diagnosed, like tested.
Oh, absolutely. You're exactly right.
So what I'm saying is if you never got tested and diagnosed, you could be a full-on psychopath and you're...
I think somebody would have noticed.
But...
It would be in your school records. It'd be in somebody's records.
But in the cases of these, nobody, you know, people may have noticed it, but it wasn't acted upon and, you know...
Yeah, the FBI dropped the ball here.
And in parts, you know... It wouldn't even be noticed if it was never reported. I mean, you know, what if your parents just don't care? Like, when you're growing up with that kind of disability, what if your parents just don't care and they never report you? They're like, I don't want them to know my kid's a sociopath, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, and you could then, you pass a background check to get a gun. There you go. To get a, you know.
There's going to probably be some other signs there, though.
Yeah, and the parents are not going to be the only one that the kid encounters.
Yeah. He's not just going to go crazy at the year 20 when he's got a gun. There's going to be some sort of back record. One thing I know is that it's pretty strict to own a gun in Canada. They, you know, if you've had crimes in the past, things like that, it's impossible. You can't own a gun. So I know that we do have that in place and a certain, like, any kind of gun license, you have to take courses. They just don't, because you're a good upstanding citizen, okay, you can have a gun. No, you got to go through training to have that gun.
Yeah, but that's how it is here, though. You know, you don't have to have training. I can, like I said,
in Missouri. The states have their own laws.
Right.
But
Missouri has just relaxed their laws last year.
Therein lies a whole other problem, though. Maybe this is something better governed on a federal level and say, no, nobody can have an AR-15. Nobody can have an automatic weapon. And if you've got a crime or whatever, we're going to take your guns. You can't have a gun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, you know, that is a solution, too. You know, you shouldn't be able to have whatever gun you want. Like, if you want to go hunting, you should have a designated hunting gun, mm-hmm. you know? And if you want to get concealed carry, you got to go through all the classes. You got to definitely get checked and be, you know, being a good upstanding citizen and good mental health. Then you can conceal carry, you know?
Actually, I have a friend that is very into guns here in Canada. We should probably get him on the show sometimes and talk about gun control. And a lot of Canadians think we don't have a problem here in Canada, and we really don't have a problem. Yes, there are shootings, but not on the scale you guys have. We can compare our entire country to one of your cities in stats. Yeah. You know,
look at Chicago, where guns are basically outlawed.
Yeah.
But look at the crime rate there. It's the highest crime rate in the country. So in the United States, when you tend to crack down on guns, you tend to get more problems, more deaths. It's statistics. It just is the way it is.
The problem is a single city can't handle it alone. You need the support of the federal government. You need the support of the state government. You need everyone on board.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Ian there on that one. We definitely need that on the federal level. And then, you know, it's going to take time. So there has to be measures put in place, like putting the veterans in front of schools. You know what? If there's an old war vet that standing there with half a leg and a machine gun, I ain't going to go in and do a school shooting.
Exactly.
That guy is one scary motherfucker. And he's going to fuck you up. Yeah, before you step out of your vehicle, you're going to have to deal with that guy. And I think that's the only solution I can see to stop it immediately.
Yeah, it's got to stop immediately. We cannot take any more. We cannot bury any more than our children. As a parent, is there anything a parent fears more than burying one of their kids?
I think
there is nothing more horrible to even think about.
Yeah,
and it just cannot be acceptable.
Well, you know, and I haven't looked at the whole history of school shootings, but, you know, this has been going on for well over 20 years. Well over, you know. Well,
Columbine.
And it's just,
you know. Was in 1998.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's 20 years.
Yeah. And you know, it's about time we did something, you know.
We have to do something. I don't want them to take guns, and
I think there needs to be some stricter laws from the federal level. Over every state, because I think that is just inviting NRA and other lobbyists to not push legislation through.
Yeah, like, I should not be able to go get a gun that can be easily turned into, like, an automatic weapon. Like you said, like, the only guns I should be able to buy should be hunting rifles. You know, maybe shotguns, you know.
If I want a handgun in Canada, I got to join a handgun club.
What's the club do for you?
They go down to the shooting range and you shoot with everybody else that has handguns.
But like,
we have to bring my friend on to really answer those questions. He knows them all. Yeah. He's got a ton of guns.
Yeah.
He's got my share because I don't have any.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to hear that point of view too, you know, because, you know, as an American, you know, really, I get to hear mostly the views of people here and very rarely the people from outside. Like, I have some foreign friends, but, you know, it'd be good to hear someone who really knows about other gun laws, other regulations.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We can all agree there.
Yes, and we don't always agree, but life's a journey, and we're all in this together. So today, let's send our thoughts and prayers to the people in Parkland, Florida. And remember, do not become anybody's victim. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, Ian.
No problem.
Godspeed, Connor, and Godspeed to all our friends out there.
Godspeed, everybody. Thanks, Ian, for joining us today, giving your point of view.
Dueling Dialogues is brought to you by our affiliates at IX Web Hosting. Click the banner on therightleftchronicles.com to get up to 40% off your first year of the best hosting on the planet. Today's episode of Dueling Dialogue is brought to you by Saucy Eva. G-Ma's marinade is coming soon to a plate near you to gourmetize your meats and proteins.